Okay, here we are in the sweat room at backstage at Croperty 2024. Just about breathing in this hot room. Now the sun's come out and I'm really pleased to be sitting here with some of the members of the fantastic band called Big Big Train. So who have we got here? Introduce yourselves, please.
Right, my name is Rickard Sjöblom. I'm from Sweden, hence the weird name.
It's a great name.
That's right. So I play guitar and keyboards and sing a little bit.
Yeah. Right, right. And we got...
I'm Gregory Sporton. I'm from England. I do not sing. I'm not allowed to sing.
Not even after a few beers? No,
well, that's the problem. they've heard me after a few beers, so I'm not allowed to sing on mic.
You don't need a mic.
No. Claire's got the video evidence to prove it, which she won't be sharing it.
Falsetto, extraordinaire.
And you're the founder member, aren't you?
I am.
Yes. So you're the one to blame for this incarnation.
I'm the old guy at the back of the stage, basically, who looks on in wonderment at the very talented people around me.
Keep them in check.
That's another way of saying it.
And we've got a beautiful fiddle player sitting here. And they are...
I'm Claire Lindley, originally from Aberdeenshire in Scotland, but not anymore. I'm from Wales now.
Wow. So, from Scotland, so is your fiddle style kind of that Scottish fiddle? Because it's quite dramatically different, isn't it? I love Scottish fiddle sounds.
It is different, isn't it? It is very different. I suppose there's a bit of that in it. Yeah. There's definitely a bit of folk influence, but I like to think I've got more than one string.
Yeah.
Hair to my bow.
Yeah, more than one string on your fiddle as well.
Yeah, hopefully.
It's your Croperty debut, isn't it? You've never played here before, but you have been busy touring all over the place, haven't you? And it seems to me, reading through your very glossy brochure, if you haven't seen the tour brochure, it's amazing. It's very thick and it's very glossy. And when they passed me the media packet, I picked it up and it was like, "Whoa, my God, what's this?" And it was your book. It's like War and Peace. Let's have a look. But I love it because in that brochure, it's got your tour. It's like the old school tour brochure.
Yeah.
You know, like you used to get, you know, back in the days of the Led Zepps and those sort of bigger bands. You used to cherish it, you know, and put it in the cupboard and keep it forever. And I think you've got that. That's what people are going to do with this, I think. They're going to keep it forever.
Most of us in the band think the 1970s is the best decade.
Ever. Yeah.
And so, you know, we're trying to just deliver some of the qualities of 1970s into the modern day, although we're leaving behind the bad bits.
Yeah, that's right. And talking of your music, you're international. We've got Sweden, we've got Scotland, now Wales, and we've got England. Any other members of the band come from wider afield as well?
Yes, our singer Alberto Bravin is from Italy. Yeah. We've got Oscar on keyboards, and he's from Norway. And our drummer Andy V is from the United States. So, yeah, we are...
Blimey, I play in a four-piece folk rock band and we have a job getting together for rehearsals. How do you cope with that?
That's a problem for us, you know, there's no question. What's the old joke, you know, how do you get to so-and-so? Well, I wouldn't start from here, you know. We've made life difficult for ourselves, but I wouldn't want to play with anybody else at all. These guys and girls are the best for Big Big Train. They're amazing musicians, lovely human beings. We have a great time together, you know, that's the most important thing we ever... You know, we did an acoustic thing and we just sit in the dressing room playing and singing. It's lovely. It's a lovely thing.
It's a lovely thing, isn't it? I found that a little bit with my lot because I wanted to start another band and after 11 years of another band. And I just put an ad out. You know, like you do, you put an ad out. And to get much response, I wanted a fiddle player and maybe a mandolin player, whatever. And this guy phoned up. I live in Dungeness. I don't know if anybody knows that. Right down by the...
We had a band member from Dungeness.
Wow, really? That's amazing. I live just on the edge of Dungeness there. And I moved down there 6 years ago. And I used to live in Rochester. Moved down here and I wanted to start this band. I've got a little recording studio at home in a separate building. And I just put an ad out and this guy found out from Gravesend. Now, I don't know the geography, but Gravesend's quite away from Dungeness. But I'm thinking, and he's sort of like, well, we do this, you know, it's going to be sort of, you really want to come down from, because we rehearse at Lyd. Yeah, that's all right. And all of a sudden, distance didn't matter because we got on so well.
Yeah.
You know, making the music was the most important thing. And I guess it's the same for you guys, isn't it?
It's a logistical challenge, that's all it is. Yeah. You know, it doesn't really matter anymore. I mean, in the old days, bands would be formed by notice boards on, music shop walls. And these days, the notice board can be across the world, really, and it's word of mouth. I mean, I saw Claire at a Stackbridge gig, so she came on my radar.
Because she used to play Stackbridge, didn't
she? Yeah, and I just made a mental note. She sounds great.
That's good for the player.
So I just kept a note of Claire on my phone. So that was organic, and Rickard came to the band via our engineer. We'd worked with him on tour and just said, this guy's amazing. Yeah. And it's a word of mouth.
Isn't that great? It's great. So where do you rehearse? Do you say, like, okay, guys, this month we go to Sweden?
And then, not yet.
I'll tell you what, let's go to Wales next week.
So we train usually rehearse mainly before tours and stuff. So we learn the songs at home. Yeah. And then we play. Yeah. We usually rehearse quite extensively, so everyone gets to feel each other out and prepare all right. Yeah. So.
Because it's kind of a little bit sterile, isn't it? When you're at home, we do this a little bit on a much smaller scale. If we've got a new song or something, we'll send it off to Gravesend, and he'll sit there and he'll do it, and he'll send me one, and I'll sit in my studio on my own, and I'll do it, and then we come together and do it. But when you're sitting there, you know, on your own, and then when it's nothing like actually getting together in the same room, because you. I don't know, things start happening, don't they? You know,
Case in point, I'm from a rock background, Claire's from a folk background, and Rickard's got a bit of both, actually, Swedish folk and some rock. We've only started doing acoustic sections in our songs for a long time, but actually break down into an acoustic band, something we've done recently.
Yeah.
And it's honestly one of the most joyful experiences of my life, just sat there.
Yeah.
With, you know, the four or five of us just bashing away on guitars and stuff. It's lovely. And you can see it. You can see you looking at me thinking, I've done this before, and he's just loving it, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I know you've done all that sort of thing in clubs and pubs across the country. And the joy of making music together like that, it's an amazing experience. It's fantastic.
Yeah, because you would be used to that, I guess, coming from that sort of background of the Scottish clubs.
Just sitting in people's living rooms, just playing music in your house or going to sessions. Yeah. I've done, you know, thousands of sessions. And in different places with people you don't know, and you can just play a tune or a song that everybody can join in with. Yeah. And when it's good, it's really something special. Yeah. And it sort of captures everybody who's watching it as well.
How
did you, obviously you love the 70s and your sound is going to be a little bit like that, isn't it, by the look of what you're doing, these Genesis, you know, and that sort of thing, and which is a great sound. It's been a bit like that this year, Acropoli. The first few bands have been quite rocky and quite bluesy and everything like that, quite a bit of a prog creeping in, you know, I love a bit of prog. So where do you come from? It's like from when you was younger, what made you, because obviously you probably grew up music all around you, been in Scottish, in the Scottish family.
Yeah, a bit.
But what about yourself? Because
I heard my brother went to buy a record in 1976, and his friends were trying to get him to buy the first Sex Pistols album. And instead, he bought Sailing by the Pound by Genesis.
Mm.
And he used to have these incredibly long baths, and he'd leave all the doors open upstairs and put his turntable on as loud as he could. So I came in one day, and the house was rocking to a song called Dancing with Midnight Night by Genesis.
Yeah.
So I was only 12 or 13 at the time, but it just hit me in a way that no other music had before or since, really. So that was where I got into prog rock, explored prog through. That's a Van der Graaf Generator and PFM, an Italian band called PFM, who Alberto used to sing the vocals for. So, you know, it's that kind of network of 70 sounds that most make me tick. But I've always loved prog rock bands with violins, PFM being a great example of that. So, you know, the violins have always been a big part of our sounds. And Rickard occasionally even gets his accordion out, which is
what
you're
really? Yeah. What, a chest organ?
No, it's mainly like the piano organ, Italian style. But I grew up with that. My grandfather played. It was my first instrument. But my first instrument was a button accordion.
Yeah.
But I don't play those a lot anymore. Since I started playing keyboards it's a lot easier to translate the stuff. Yeah. So.
Are you, with the gear you've got? You've probably got lots of very at the top. I'm a bit of a geek on gear because I'm playing guitar. I've got orange is orange for me. I'm using orange valve amps, so that's what I'm into at the moment. Yeah, I've got an orange TH30. But what about yourself? Is the gear you use kind of retro, or is it updated versions of it? Is it like, you know, the older type keyboards from the 70s and
80s? My rig is completely old fashioned because it's a Rickenbacker bass.
A bit like Rick Wakeman the other day.
Moog Tourist bass pedals, it's that sort of old fashioned.
But it's harness to a Kemper, so there's a bit of technology in there.
Yeah.
We've got a mixture of, I don't know how old your violin is, but
150 year old violin.
Vintage. proper vintage.
It's got a proper story to it. Was it rescued from a dictator or something? You know, those violins have always been rescued from Russian dictators. Went over to Russia, found this violin, brought it home. You know, that's all.
I need to work on that.
Work on it, yeah.
It's a fiddle that someone from Shetland gave me.
Yeah.
It's probably actually a French fiddle. Yeah. I've learned quite a bit about fiddle making since getting that violin, because there was a place in France that in the mid 1800s the whole town was involved in violin making. Yeah. And it was good. They're called factory violins, but they weren't made in a factory. What it was each
the town
would, each family would build a bit of different bit of the violin.
Wow. Like the so bridge, like
they'd be in charge of the scrolls or the necks, and then it would be put together. And that was quite an industry for a while. So that's one of those. Still handmade, but not by one maker workshop kind of thing.
It's interesting, isn't it?
And they would have been cheaper, but now that fiddle's, you know, just because of its age, it's worth quite a lot of money.
That's lovely. You should probably add a story to it. Like, you know, it was a crofter's violin. It was a shepherd. But he lost it in a field, and then you were strolling across the field and you found it. And he found it and you returned it to him. But then when you wanted to give it back to him, he didn't want it.
Because
in between songs, sometimes you need these stories.
Actually, that fiddle's got a load of knots on the back. And, you know, your violins usually are sort of beautiful.
Very
bits
beautiful.
They're first class bits of maple. And this has just got knots, and it would have been a third grade bit of wood. Maybe
it's definitely a shepherd's fiddle. That's what it was.
You're right. But a really sort of, you know, happening shepherd. Somebody like...
What's going to happen next to your gigs now?
Sexy shepherd.
Coming into November and December now.
You're getting your sheep on stage.
No. But what will happen now, November, December, your European tour, when you kick it off, you'll be having a story about your fiddle because of this day. If I come and see you and you start talking about fiddle stories, I know what it was. But I'm looking forward to your set. I mean, it's going to be fantastic, I think. I mean, anything with fiddles and traditional gear. You know, when I looked at Rick Wakeman's keyboards, I wondered how they work these days. So it's the old-fashioned big knobs and all that.
Yeah,
you know,
it's probably all for show. It's probably all digital.
Yeah, I thought that's not real.
Maybe.
Yeah, I thought that he's going to there.
I mean,
he couldn't
come on stage with one keyboard. He just couldn't do it.
No, not at all. I mean, he probably could have done, but it wouldn't be right, would it?
I said to
our gang, I said he didn't need all those keyboards, really. It's just, that's too much, you know. But what a show it was. Looking forward
to, like, change patches.
Yeah, that's right.
Just go to another keyboard for another
second. Yeah. And patches can be a problem, can't they? I've had problems with patches. I'm a bit heavy-footed, so many times, and you're probably really, you know, with your pedals that you use, I use an old Boss E70. Yeah. Boss 70, and it's got four pedals on it, and even now I tread on the same, on the wrong pedal, and put on distortion instead of he's got to be so careful. And he got around with all those keyboards, I don't know, but I'm looking forward to your set tonight. It's going to be really good, and you're going on tour later on in the year, so they can find that from bigbigtrain.com, I presume. Get all the dates for that, and
UK dates starts happening in September.
Well, brilliant stuff. Brilliant. Looking forward to seeing you all. It's been a pleasure talking to you guys.
And you.
Thanks for talking to me. Thanks very much. Cheers. Have a great show.
Thanks.
See you later, guys. Thank you. Bye now.